for the benefit of others, I'm going to ask that we share our experiences of what needs letting go in this manner. And I'll ask little questions as one person shares, and the next I may ask little questions about that. So we'll have just a few minutes of doing this. You know each other reasonably well, many of you, so who would like to start us with what I'm interested in? You might say what you felt that what needs letting go, that you what your answer was, what came up, or you might talk about your process, or you might talk about your own internal attitude as you were doing this. So who would like to start us? And raise your mechanical hand, please. You know, down there at the bottom of the screen where it says what is it under these days, folks?
It's under reactions.
Reactions. Well, mine didn't show up under reactions here. Oh, yes, down at the bottom. I see it there now, under react. Okay, so Viv?
Hi. Before we started, I thought, I know what I need to let go of. I mean, that's what made me so excited about this particular retreat. And then I started walking, just doing what you said to do. That first thing never came up. And all these things started coming up, sometimes one at a time here and there, and then suddenly a flood. And I didn't even realize what I need to let go of. That experience was really terrific.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Someone else there, Liz.
Hi, I had a very similar experience to Viv's. I know what I need to let go of. Through the walking, what came up was my shoulds. I need to let go of my shoulds. I have so many shoulds. I shouldn't be feeling this. I shouldn't be feeling that. Oh, wow.
Liz, this is music to my ears. I love hearing this. I just hooray, hooray.
I love hearing it too. Thank you. This is, as I told you, this is the talk I desperately need. Thank you.
So, if someone also would talk about, well, how did you do? Like, did you sort of do it, or like, did you have to corral yourself to actually do this? Did you just, what was your experience of doing it? Like, trying to, like, do this kind of practice. So, who would, okay, Shannon.
Hi. I started more kind of having a flood of thoughts about the things I expect other people to tell me I should let go of. And then I remembered what you said about having more of a right brain experience with it. And then I became aware, as I let go of all the, because those are all the things I'm also resistant to letting go of, that I don't want to let go of. And so I was then creating tension around that. And then when I let go of the kind of flood of those thoughts, I then perceived this tension in my torso, kind of around my rib cage. And I thought, oh, it's actually this physical contraction to let go of. It's not necessarily a thing or an attitude. It's this physical sensation to let go of. And then I practiced, because I was thinking also what you said about holding onto the pen, right? And that there's this physical sense of contracture. So then I was exploring letting that go. And then I realized that the physical contracture was also part of what was helping me stand upright as I walked. And so then exploring where was the kind of necessary contracture and where was the unnecessary contracture. Mm. And then I just kind of stayed with that until the end.
Thank you. That was very, that's a very clear inquiry, and hooray. That's something that I would encourage you to, that kind of exploring to keep with that. So thank you. Okay. I'm just going to say Jaeger. you got to unmute.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philip, that was really interesting. When I started walking, I had a lot of heaviness in my heart, a lot of heaviness in my chest, sadness, you know, and I was trying to figure it all out, you know, why is this here? What do I do about it? Like all this stuff going on in my head, right? And I'm walking back and forth through my house, and in the front of my house, there's a gorgeous butterfly garden that's in full bloom. And I suddenly noticed the butterflies and a hummingbird. And that whole feeling in my chest just vanished. So it was like, what do I need to let go of? Everything. Everything. And just be available for what's right here, right now, without worrying about any of it or trying to fix any of it or figure any of it out. Just take a breath and give myself the opportunity to just experience without any of that stuff.
Yeah, I call that just be. And yes, that is that's a major insight in that way. So how we find that being available to that. So if you become available to that, okay, I want to arrive in this moment, in such a way I am in the moment without all that stuff. Just the way everything you described, you can write it all down. And then you recognize I am available. So first you recognize the need, then you recognize I am available, and then you realize, boy, that's tenuous to stay in. And therefore you align, because that allows you to stay in that recognition where that choice comes. And it doesn't matter how many times it goes away, you just establish it again. Because otherwise then you're clinging about, I gotta have this. No. So then you're imprisoning yourself in your demand for freedom, you see. So that's the paradox of it. You're also letting go. You're letting go of having to let go.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm being very practical about this. This is very practical for Street of Life. This is not some theory thing here. So thank you.
Thank you, Philip.
Marianne.
Okay, I got rid of my, I can speak. Philip, you probably remember that from years, I'm the one that was sick.
I remember you well.
Okay, well, over the years, I've gotten a lot sicker. It's progressed. And basically, I'm homebound and depressed and everything that goes with it. And so this was totally the right question. Perfect. And I went walking and sat outside and was... I want to get rid of making my entire life have to do with illness. every day is just from morning till night, it's either going to doctors or procedures or phone medical things. So that's all that's in my life almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to get rid of, is the only having a life of pain. Probably 100%. Well, even when I'm sleeping, I was going to say not when I'm sleeping, but yes. So that's my.
You know, the I would have you go back to letting go rather than getting rid of. I would have you just in terms of that, and then I'd be interested in. Since I last saw you in Sangha, I've been sick 8 years for various things, and twice very, very sick, could have died. And so I got to practice with a very mild version of what, you know, the kind of things you've gone through. But and my life became so organized around the medical. I more and more would claim my time, just little pieces of my time, just little pieces, like, okay, I don't have anything to do right now like this, and I would deliberately take my mind to something. I refused to go around as being a sick person. I was a person that still had a mind heart, and that's what I was. And it was like having a job taking care of the medical, but it wasn't me, it was just my job. And I really encourage that for you, because your heart's not bound by your physical condition. So I'm really encouraged.
They take stretches of time and do that within those.
Yes, those little stretches of time. And then there's a possibility of something blooming from that, but you can't try to get that bloom. You have to it's just like taking care of a garden. You know, you put the flowers out, then whatever happens, happens. But yeah, because then there can be a shift occur inside that's different. But just little pieces of climbing back, that you let loose of that. You let loose of all that. You just go through this because this is what that's what needs doing. You're doing what needs doing, but you're claiming for yourself. If when you're riding in the car to the medical appointment, you're not person going to the medical appointment. You're person seeing what's passing around, and you just over and over again claim, reclaim, reclaim, reclaim. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom, please.
Great seeing everybody from Marin Sangha, and you too, Philip. I had the experience of, and I'm familiar with this, I had the experience of not trusting the answer that came up for me when I asked the question, what needs letting go? And the one answer, I won't mention all of them, but one answer that I don't trust very much is the need to be seen and heard. And I feel like that's an organic thing that is even, you know, it's a wellness. I think it promotes wellness. So I'm suspicious of that as an answer, but that's what came up, the need to be seen and heard.
Mm-hmm. So it is every human being has some relation of needing to be seen and heard from childhood on. And it's totally natural, totally natural. So then what would be, I've had experience with this before. So you bringing this up gives me an opportunity to share something that I've spent some time figuring out. And most of you know that I, in addition to teaching Dhamma, I work with people in transitions, and also I do workshops and all that. So I've had lots of experience. But the need to be seen and heard is natural. The compulsion around it is the problem. so that I'm defining myself as a person who is not sufficiently seen or heard, and then so you create your own scarcity. You create a kind of identity of scarcity, and rather than noticing when you are seen and heard, and then also noticing who you choose to be around. That will people you can see that there's a whole pattern that you sort of choose people are not going to see and hear you, because you're saying if they don't see and hear you, then you think that's who you really want to be seen and heard by. That, my friend, is delusion. But we all do it. I'm really, including myself. I had, it can come from not being seen and heard in childhood, which would have been my situation. But then people who are seen and heard a lot in childhood really can have an attachment to that. So it's just natural human being for the situation. So not making it an identity. Seeing where you, that putting yourself in situations to be seen and heard, seeing if there's an outsized demand of that. In other words, is your identity such that you're always going to think you've not been seen and heard enough, because that's your identity. And then the last one is, and how about yourself? How much are you seeing and hearing, Tom? And I'm totally mean that. I don't do little pat answers. I really mean this. I have no interest in those little kind of television. Okay, so thank you, Tom. And then Beta, and you're the last here. We got to move on then.
I just sort of thought you would appreciate this. So I don't like walking meditation. Never have. Always try to avoid it. But I did it. And so something kept coming up, and I tried to catch the right word for, I mean, I knew in my heart what it was, but I was trying to fix it. Thought you'd like that. So I was trying to fix it. And I think I was trying to avoid what was really coming up. And at the end, what came up had nothing to do with what I was trying to fix, but something came up. But I just, the fact that I didn't like to walk and that I tried to fix it, I thought you would appreciate.
I do appreciate that. And I'm always interested in your adventures as a yogi. Those are part of your adventures, and you've had a number of adventures like that. So now let's just everybody stand up for a moment or just move around or something, because we're going to sit again and. You know, something that will make it easier for you to sit. Well, before I actually ring the bell to start the meditation, while I was standing up, I realized that I've motivated to name my own experience, because I did the same thing you did, just straight on. And what was striking to me was my attitude. I started with a kind of great enthusiasm, because I've had a lot of success with this kind of inquiry walking, and various things happened, and then I started getting restless. So I was restless with the question, and I was going, okay, right now what needs letting loose is this restlessness. So I was available to have that restlessness let loose. And just let go of that restlessness. And then I kind of got a little distracted. You know, I sort of forgot the question. Even though I was still walking, I forgot to do the, when I turned and all that, I forgot to do it. Forgot, right? And then after that came a kind of, settling into that, being available to know what needs to let loose is the reward in itself. Whether I can do it or not, just being available to let loose, that I'm meeting life with that is that empowerment, really, that I'm available to recognize and insofar as possible let loose. And that was kind of the whole thing And there was a other theme going through this, but it would be too hard to explain. So this was the process that was happening in me as I was dealing with this kind of my question around what needs something that needs to let loose. Like trying to frame what needs to be let loose for the what I feel would bring more balance. It's not so clear what I need to let loose of to get to that. But the inner process, you following me? This was my inner process as I was dealing with what needs to be let loose. And that had its own reward. And that's what I'm sharing with you, because a lot of times this is the thing that's most valuable to us, is learning how to kind of be meeting life in this more more informed by wisdom and compassion. So the inquiry created the opportunity for that for me to be present with that, so I could see that. So, and then that crosses all other things too, you see. So being present for a process and seeing how you do in that process, and being aware of it and accepting of yourself in the process that you're undergoing. That could be in therapy, that could be in your sitting meditation, that could be when you're walking in the woods, you know, it could be when you're in the grocery store. But you're learning how to be present. You're watching yourself being present and available in a way that's skillful for you, that's meaningful for you, that's being present in a way that's available and aligned. Okay.